This episode is brought to you by Windrose Recovery, a family of premier addiction treatment programs in southeastern Wisconsin. Privately owned, Windrose Recovery offers a full continuum of personalized care for those struggling with addiction, including the Manor for residential treatment, Midwest Detox for inpatient detoxification, and Windrose Counseling for outpatient treatment. With highly personalized treatment focused on trauma, Dr. Chantel Thomas and her expert team offer an authentic experience, creating the kind of deep emotional change that's crucial for long-term recovery. If you or someone you love is struggling with addiction, call Windrose Recovery at 414-409-5300. You can learn more about Windrose Recovery by clicking the link in the show notes or by visiting windroserecovery.com. Thank you for listening to The Path to Authenticity. My name's Tom Gentry. I think of the show as the opposite of small talk. You'll hear real conversations with real people who know who they are. We talk about what makes them who they are, how they became who they are, and how we might become truer expressions of who we are.
Luger, and this is The Path to Authenticity.
Nowhere to run, nothing to hide from the government's prying eye. Take yourself a summer holiday.
The Path to Authenticity proudly supports the I Speak Media Foundation, advancing media literacy education through an evolving series of outreach programs within the communities that need it most. For more information, visit ispeakmedia.org. First time here, thanks for checking it out. If not, thanks for coming back. I'm Tom Gentry, and this is The Path to Authenticity. If you don't mind, please take a minute to subscribe to the show at whatever platform you use. Also, wouldn't mind if you'd be willing to leave a rating or a review. If you have an episode you really enjoy, maybe you could share it with a friend. Every little bit helps. So episode 126 features my conversation with a certified hypnotherapist in South Africa named Jennifer Schluter. And, you know, she's got an interesting story, life full of twists and turns, like most of us. So I hope you enjoy it. Jennifer Schluter.
Nowhere to run, nothing to hide from the government's prying eye. Take yourself a summer holiday.
I'm doing well. It's a Monday morning in the United States. Just after 11 a.m., and you're in South Africa.
Yes, and it is about 5 p.m. here.
Oh, so you're 6 hours ahead.
Yes.
Okay. So I saw your bio. You know, I saw you on a Facebook group, and one of the things that made me want to talk to you immediately is that I saw you are a journalist. And you have worked as a journalist, and I can't remember how many periodicals you said you have written for, but that you turned away from that to do something else. And so I'm really interested to hear all about that.
What I do now is I am a hypnotherapist and breathwork facilitator, and I help people to really become the truest expression of themselves so that they can magnetize whatever they want, because only if you are your true self, you're going to obviously magnetize everything that you want, right? Because you're going to speak it into existence, so to say.
How did this happen? How did you get here? I assume it was some sort of transformational experience of your own that took place.
Yes, absolutely. So in 2015, I was working as the managing editor of 22 newspapers. And while I was doing that, my personal life kind of went downhill. There were a few things with boys that happened. There were a few things with friends, and I just didn't feel fulfilled in my job. And my friend said to me, she was like, "Hey, Jenny, why don't you go to my hypnotherapist?" And I was like, "Ah, okay, you know, I trust this friend and I trust what she's saying. So let me see what's going to happen." And so I had no idea about hypnosis or hypnotherapy, and I just went there. So I also don't remember what happened and what she said exactly, because it was too long ago. But what I remember is that I woke up at 5 a.m. the next day, and I said to myself, I had made the decision to quit my job and travel the world. I didn't know how back then. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew that I was going to quit my job and travel the world, because that's something I've really been wanting to do. And so it was like 6 months later, I quit. And I had let my bosses know like two weeks later after the session. And then 6 months later, I left. I left LA, left my life behind, everything behind. And then I just started traveling. And I've been doing that for the last 5 years. And I landed in Cape Town right now. But hypnosis also helped me really fix the relationship with my mother. It helped me find out why I was always choosing toxic relationships. It helped me find my purpose. It helped me get a completely different money mindset. It helped me with a lot of things. So like about 3 years ago, I decided to become a hypnotherapist myself, because everything that hypnosis has brought me was so transformational and so amazing that I just wanted to give this gift to other people and share it with them and really just transform other people's lives too.
Wow. So had you ever dipped your toe into talk therapy before? Had you done anything like that?
Yes, and I didn't have great experiences, because the time I did therapy was at a time where my parents separated and I was about 8 years old, and they had brought us to a psychologist so that we can decide with which parent we want to go. And at that time, I just had a really, it was the worst time of my life because my parents separated. So I didn't associate that with anything good or helpful.
Basically sounds like it was on you to decide who you wanted to be with. And that's a tough thing for a little kid.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was just not nice, because obviously I wanted my parents to be together.
Were they going to live in different countries, or why would you have to choose?
No, just because they were separating and they were getting a divorce. So I would either choose to stay with my mom or my dad. They didn't want to do the whole, you know, 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there, or 1 week there, 1 week there. So just like they wanted us to decide with who we're going to stay.
So where'd you land?
I landed at my dad first, and I landed at my mom's.
That seems like a logical conclusion to that scenario, where you would try one out and then end up at the other. So that had to be tough.
Yeah, it's not easy.
So then you delved into becoming a hypnotherapist yourself. What was that training like?
So the training, there's a lot of different types of, I wouldn't even say hypnosis, but there's lots of different trainings you can do. But I chose an online training at an institute in California, which would get me to be a certified hypnotherapist in the US. And so it was an online training. And then I also topped it up with courses about past life regression and with coaching and all this stuff.
So where are your clients? Are they all over the world?
They are all over the world. It is amazing. I have clients who are from the US, who are in Costa Rica. I have clients who are in South Africa and who I'm working on with one-on-one, like where I can actually see them face to face. I have clients in Canada, in the UK, in Germany, like everywhere. Hmm.
So what was it about the journalist in you that wasn't really who you were as a human being?
So I love writing. I love journalism. But I worked for local newspapers, and I've always been a global citizen. So it was on a very small scale that I could have any impact, so to say. And I kind of felt I wanted to work more internationally. I wanted to travel. I wanted to be more free, which the local newspapers didn't give me a chance to be.
In a 5-year span of time, your life just turned right on its axis, didn't it?
Yes, 100%.
So,
but I'm glad it did.
You
absolutely
talked about
now,
helping people become the truest expression of themselves. And that's really why I do this podcast. That's why it's called The Path to Authenticity. I mean, I wanted to create a resource for people who want to have better lives, who want to live more deeply, who want to be more connected to themselves, and to just encourage people to do what they actually want to do with their lives. And in reality, this is my path to authenticity. You know, doing this, I mean, it's a big part of me kind of doing the same thing that you did, which is, you know, I'm going to stop choosing to put myself in jobs for the sake of some security rather than doing what I actually want to be doing. And, you know, that I was totally living in fear. It's funny. I just talked about this with another guest that when we recorded a few days ago, that she had something in her life that just synchronistically everything was falling into place. And I've had that experience with this podcast for the most part. Everything has just come very easily. It feels really natural. And that's because I believe it's what I'm supposed to be doing, you know? And if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, you know, the universe meets us there and helps us with it, I believe.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. Definitely.
So what's it been like these last 5 years, helping people, traveling the world? How's it different? Maybe that's a good place to start, to tell listeners, maybe someone who hasn't gone through this sort of transformation, what's different about your new life, especially internally, I would ask. What's different about your new life as opposed to your old life?
Yes, that's a great question. So for me, what is different internally is the freedom. I was very, I don't know if you want to call it privileged or lucky or whatever, but I didn't have any ties to any place. So I was always very free. That means, like, you know, I didn't have really strong family ties. So I was able to be free and roaming around the world, whereas other people are like, oh, I want to stay at home with my family, da da da. I wasn't. So I was even more free than before. It gave me freedom. It gave me freedom of location so that I could be anywhere in the world and really get to know. I went to like about 30 countries during these 5 years. And in some of them, I stayed for like 3 months so I could actually really get to know the country, the locals, and just like whatever is going on there. And then I have the time freedom now, which is I can wake up on a Tuesday. If I don't feel like working, I'm going to take the day off and I'm just going to do something else. If I want to work on a Sunday, I work on a Sunday and it's cool. And I have the freedom of expression. Like, I don't need to be writing for a local newspaper. I can now write for anybody in the world, because anywhere in the world, we have this thing where we're confined to what society is expecting of us, or our parents or our friends or whatever it is, right? But where we cannot express ourselves fully and truly. And so when I write about this and when I talk about this and when I do my work around this, this is going to reach anybody in this world in any country. And it doesn't matter. And I'm so free in writing this, and I'm so free in just reaching people anywhere. And I've always been a global citizen who's been interested in different cultures. So I love that I can reach anybody.
One of my favorite quotes, I love quotes, but one of my favorites of all is a Bob Dylan quote, which is, a man is a success if he wakes up in the morning and he goes to bed at night, and in between he does what he wants to do. That's my idea of success. And what you're talking about has just really probably in the last 6 months just been in the forefront of my mind, because we impose so many limitations upon ourselves about what's possible for us. And I think first it comes from probably our family, our community, and then the society at large. You know, there's this script that we're expected to live by. You know, you go to school, after you go to school, you go to college. When you finish college, you get a 9-to-5 job, 40 hours a week. You get married, you have 2.3 kids. And that really doesn't, that serves someone, but not me. You know, that's not who I am. And one of the things I've started to wonder in regards to this is, you know, if I was never acculturated this way, what time would I get up in the morning? When would I want to work? You know, what would my life look like if I just existed and nobody ever told me how I was supposed to be? And that's what I want to be. You know, I want to do, at this point, I want to do what feels natural. So I'm kind of, you know, in this place of limbo where I still have to make a living, pay my bills, because I've been living within these constructs for all this time, and I'm not as free of it yet as you are. So I really admire what you're doing, first of all. It's really, really cool.
Thank you. And I love that. It's so true. Like we all should ask ourselves, like, every morning when we get up, okay, what is it that I want to do now? Instead of, okay, what is it that I have to do? Or do I have to get up at 5 a.m. to be in a 5 a.m. club or whatever?
There are all sorts of economic and political implications of when we eat our meals. You know, everything is designed, at least, and, you know, I've never lived abroad, but in America, you know, everything is designed to serve the economy, to enrich other people. You know, punching a clock, eating at the times we eat, getting up and going to sleep at the times, you know, it's all optimized to enrich somebody else. It's not about us. And if you really think about that, it's no wonder so many people are miserable, are at odds with each other. There's so much violence. People are medicated for depression. Another thing I was talking about with another guest recently is that I have come to learn that when I'm depressed, it's because I'm somewhere I don't need to be. It's somewhere I'm doing something with my time, probably. There's something in my life that needs to change. Either I'm in a relationship where I don't belong, or a job where I don't belong, or something. It's our bodies telling us, giving us information. But, you know, instead of listening to that, what most people do instead is, you know, shame themselves for, you know, not wanting to do what everybody expects of them, or getting on medication to alleviate the depression. And they just keep doing what they're doing instead of using the information to adjust.
Yes, and they're looking for external satisfaction. So they're looking for TV, Netflix shows, whatever, instead of creating something that comes from within them, whether that is any form of art or any form of life that they want to have. They are afraid of creating whatever it is that they want, but they choose to go to look at other external things and say, okay, this is going to distract me for now, so that I don't have depression, rather than looking at their depression or their anxiety, whatever it is, and changing that.
So is it safe to say this is the kind of stuff you work with clients on?
Yes, absolutely.
So what kind of caseload do you have right now? How many clients are you working with?
I always have between 7 or 10 clients.
And is there a span of time that you generally work with them?
Yes, I work with them from everything from 3 to 4 months, because I think that this time is a perfect time to where you can see things are changing.
One of the things I like about that is that we can forget sometimes, those of us in the helping professions, that the real goal of therapy is for the person to not need it.
Exactly. And that is my goal. I'm like, I give you everything that I know. I give you all the tools. And then you can go on and you can live your life without me. But if you choose to have me just as a, you know, like once a month or whatever, just to bounce off some ideas or whatever it is that you need, that's cool. But I don't want you to need me after we're done. I want you to have the tools. I want you to have the knowledge where you can say, okay, I can get myself out of whatever it is that I'm in.
Okay, so you talked about freedom being part of what's changed with you internally. What else?
I definitely have become who I am, and it's in a way where I express myself. Obviously, I tell the universe what I want and I receive it. Most of the times, obviously, there's some areas it's easier than others because I'm not as attached. What else? I'm more open and more joyful and I'm less worried. I'm less worried about what others are thinking of me. I'm less worried about the right thing or doing the right thing or choosing the right thing, and rather saying, okay, there is no right thing. It's just a thing that I want to be doing right now. If it feels right now, it's cool. And I'm not going to regret anything. And my relationships have become much better when it comes to they're more deeper and they're with much better people. Like more, I used to date like really toxic people that were in gangs, they were alcoholics, they were lying and cheating and whatever. And now I'm in relationships with people I'm in relationship with my dream partner and I have my dream friends. Like I'm surrounded by inspiring people who are really incredible humans who are not lying or cheating or stealing or whatever. So that has changed a lot too.
It's interesting to me. How would you explain how something like hypnotherapy can help you change those patterns? Because to me, you know, someone who, you know, I've been working on myself in one way or another, often many ways at once, for a quarter century at this point, you know, it's taken me a long time to get to the really, really deep stuff, and especially around relationships. That took me forever to get to the point where I stopped choosing unavailable women. That was my thing. You know, they're always unavailable in one way or another, either living in a different place or emotionally unavailable or whatever it was, you know. And, you know, it took me a long time to realize, well, first of all, I think I knew I was trying to resolve something in myself, but I really had such a hard time connecting the dots. And ultimately, the only thing that helped was, and you hear about this, and I think it's a really hard thing for people to grasp. I know it is for me, and I think it is for a lot of guys, but learning how to love myself and be kind to myself, honor myself. If I want something, realize it's not selfish to want that. I deserve to have what I want. Also, coming to the recognition that all the love that we feel, like that dream partner that you have, even though he's your dream partner, all the love that you feel for him, he did not give that to you. You already had it. And once we realize that, why do we need somebody else? We don't need somebody else. And then when we don't need somebody else, then it becomes easier to attract someone worth being with, right?
I agree with all that, but you said it's only, you know, or you said it's like guys that are having a hard time loving themselves, but it's girls just as much. Like us women, we have such a hard time too to love ourselves. And it's when we don't need, but when we want, You know, like when we don't need somebody to love us, but when we want to share our days with somebody else because we want to, we don't need to, because we love ourselves so much that we can spend the day by ourselves. And we're not going to have a problem to spend it by ourselves when we're alone, because we love ourselves so much that our own company is fun. But then if somebody else comes along that is the same way, but wants to spend time with you, that's like better than needing to spend time together.
Yeah, because the need, you're coming from a place of deficiency. But just like you said, if you're already your own entertainment, like you're already happy, then also you're not going to bring somebody in who's going to be a wet blanket either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to have to add to it or else they're not going to be around. Right?
Absolutely.
And I have been able to. I'm at that place, but I haven't gotten into a committed relationship since that change has taken place, right? I've dated and all that, but I've not, you know, met anyone that I wanted to have something with long term. But can you talk about what that's like? The difference between what it was like to be who you were before in those situations compared to who you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. So before, when I was dating the people, the toxic people that I was talking about, I was not myself. I did not stand up for myself. I did not speak up for myself. I did not say what I want. I did not speak up for what I need, or for, you know, if something was hurting me, I did not speak up. I just took it because I said, okay, I don't want to have any disharmony. I don't want to have any disagreements. I don't want to have any arguments. I just want peace and harmony. But I didn't get that. And I didn't realize the patterns that I was stuck in, because first it was the patterns of toxic relationships. And I realized that because in my childhood, my comfort zone was drama. Mm. It was arguments. It was drama. It was unhealthy relationships. That was my comfort zone. When I realized that, I was like, oh, fuck, I must get uncomfortable now where guys are actually treating me nicely and like a queen. This is me being uncomfortable where guys are treating me nicely.
Right.
So to realize that and to change that was probably one of the biggest things. And then before I met my dream partner, I was actually in a place where everything was going well for me. And I was so happy with everything that I had created in my life. And I really had worked on my relationships with others, and I had worked on raising my standards. Like right before I met him, my friend gave me a TED talk about, Jenny, you're a queen and you're still having these people around you that are like kings in the making, but that are not kings yet. So you need to raise your standards and really only hang out with kings. And I was like, oh, yes, thank you for the reminder. I need to do that. And like literally 2 or 3 weeks later, he came into my life and I manifested everything. Like I wrote a list for 2 pages, how I wanted him to be. I wrote a list about how I wanted to feel in the relationship, and everything came true. Everything.
Wow. But, you know, for me, just to not be in that place anymore where I was coming from that place of deficiency where I wanted somebody else because I didn't feel complete myself. And it is, I mean, talk about freedom to be able to, after that, just to go on a date where, you know, if it doesn't go swimmingly, oh, well, it's not that big a deal. Or,
nope.
And also like, if she doesn't like me, okay. Well, you know, that's all right. Other people do. Like, it's to not take that personally. Before, I would have taken that personally, and it's really not.
It is not. It is not about you. It is about the other person.
Right. It's just sometimes having lived in that dysfunctional place for so long, now it amazes me sometimes when I react to these or respond to these situations in a positive way. I agree wholeheartedly that when we grow up in drama, in dysfunction, that is our normal. So then we don't feel comfortable in a relationship You know, if you grew up in a home where somebody treats you like garbage, that's what's going to feel like love to you as an adult, unless you work through that stuff. So, yeah, I've definitely had that experience too. And so talk about that discomfort, what it's like to go through that discomfort of, oh my God, somebody's treating me well. He is a king. Now what do I do? Right?
Yeah. So when I know exactly when the switch happened, and it was basically my ex called me and he was like, "Hey baby, I'm in jail. Can you call my mom?" Oh, and I was like, oh my goodness. And then I ended up also visiting him sometimes, and it stayed like the relationship stayed on for a little while. But then I realized, I was like, I'm getting out of college and I cannot have this. I cannot. And I need to stop this. There has to be another way. And then I started dating somebody else. And for the very first time, not for the very first time, but for the first time in like 5 years, there was a man who took the lead, who bought everything for me. He paid for everything without me even saying anything. You know, he just took it on. Like, he was being the man, he was being the leader. And I had to really, it's also about the feminine and masculine energy. And I'm, as a strong alpha woman, I also have to say, okay, let me lean back. Let me allow this man to take care of me because he likes to. Not because I'm not independent or whatever, you know, but because he likes to. And that was also a switch that I had to go through. And it was, I wouldn't say it was very like uncomfortable. It was very unknown. Like, it was a lot of unknown. And I always asked myself, I was like, does he love me? Because, you know, like, there's no drama. There's no nothing. Like, yeah. Is this even exciting? That's the problem. Because then you think, okay, without drama, it's not exciting. And then once you start realizing, okay, you're dating more and more good guys, you're like, okay, there's other things that are exciting, which is like, you know, if you do stuff together, or if you experience things together, it doesn't have to be the drama that is making things exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But you have to realize it. You have to really realize your own patterns. You have to really be aware of them, and you have to realize, I am responsible for everything that I am attracting. And that is the hardest part for some people, because they say like, oh, it's my parents' fault because they raised me the way that I am. No, but you're a freaking 20, 30, 40, 50 years old now. And what now? Do you still want to give your parents the fault of how they raised you because you don't have what you want? Mm. That's a very hard pill to swallow for some people.
Yeah. Radical responsibility. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this masculine feminine dynamic here, because, you know, this is work that I've done too. And for me, it really began as I was getting closer and closer to divorce, and eventually, you know, went through divorce. And I learned how I wasn't showing up as a man. I learned how, in the ways in which I was being passive and not decisive and not taking decisive action. And like you, not speaking up for myself, not saying what I needed, accepting less than I wanted, all those kinds of things. And as a guy, you know, what I did is I sort of, you know, just pretended to be this super nice, accommodating guy, like, oh, we can do whatever you want. Whatever you want is fine with me. When the truth is, I was afraid. I was afraid to say what I actually wanted because I was afraid to be too much. Ultimately, I was trying to prevent abandonment. That's what I was doing. I was trying to not be too much, because if I was too much, maybe she'd leave. And that's how I showed up in every relationship that I was ever in until I really started to connect the dots with this work. But so there's this whole masculine energy, feminine energy thing. And I don't necessarily like the idea of anytime someone says, well, the woman needs to let him, in my mind, they're missing the point. Because to be decisive and to take action for a man does not require permission, right? Like the whole let boys cry thing. When I hear that, I'm like, well, screw you. I'll cry if I want. I don't need you to tell me I can cry. You know, that's the kind of energy we need from guys when it comes to their emotional experience, showing up in relationships, just doing it. Not somebody telling them they should or that they should want to, or just doing it. And, you know, we need guys to teach us that stuff, right? But I also think that, you know, women shouldn't have to be responsible for, well, if I bring my real energy to this, he might not be able to meet me there. That's not ideal. You know, what's ideal is when you show up in your full alpha energy and say, you know, you're not stepping up, for him to fight and say, okay, you know, I'm going to take it to the next level now. But I think what so many guys do when it comes to all this stuff is just avoid it. You know, they think either you're a strong man or you're not. And a lot of guys have a really hard time with alpha women like you and don't know what to do with it and don't know that that energy is a call for us to step into our manhood. That's what I believe.
Yes. So first, I believe that there also needs to be a balance in men and women from their masculine and feminine energy on both sides. And one of a person that I know said it's not the masculine and feminine energy, but it's the doing and the being energy. So both people,
I like that.
Yeah. Both people, because, you know, it's always with the gender roles and all, whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, we need to have the balance of the doing and the being of the alpha and of the follower, of the leader. Like, there needs to be this balance around all of that. Like, there are some points in life where the woman is going to lead, going to have to lead. There are some points in life where the man is going to have to step up and lead. And it is just always a balance. And if that balance can be there, if men can show their emotions, if women can show or can be comfortable enough to show their alpha side, their strong side, if there's the balance, then that's all that's needed. Nobody needs to be more feminine or more masculine. But if both know how to balance both sides, that is the most beautiful thing there is.
Yeah, there's so much to it. One of the things that drives me crazy, sort of a pet peeve, is, you know, now the feminine, masculine energy, I like saying it the way you said it much better, doing, being energy. Because when we talk about the feminine and masculine sides of a person, I mean, what guy is going to want to have a feminine side? Most of them aren't. So, you know, we already have so many men out there who are completely disconnected from their emotional experience. How are we going to get them to engage in that if we keep telling them that means acting like a woman? And I don't mean the people like in our orbits who have done the work and who can tolerate terminology like that. I'm talking about, you know, everybody out there needs this. The whole world needs this, right? I mean, but what about the guy on the assembly line? You know, the blue collar guys where I grew up, they don't want to hear about getting in touch with their feminine side. And in my mind, that is a concept that somebody probably just made up anyway. The idea that the emotions have a gender is just ridiculous. It's not true. It's just not true. I was in a room. You familiar with Clubhouse?
Yes.
Yeah. So I was in a Clubhouse room yesterday where we were talking about all this stuff, how men and women experience sex, or specifically what they were saying was that women experience it emotionally and men don't. And that's not true. Like, maybe they're not completely in touch with how they're experiencing it emotionally. And maybe the emotional experience a man has is different from the emotional experience a woman has, but that doesn't mean men don't have an emotional experience with sex. It's not true. That's my take anyway. So I have lots of pet peeves around this kind of stuff, but I really like everything you're saying. And I appreciate it. I appreciate the work that you're doing.
Thank you. And I quickly want to add that I want people to look at where this overflow of masculine energy, so to say, has gotten us. Because for the last thousands of years, we were in an overflow of masculine energy, right? With masculine leaders, masculinity everywhere, overflow of masculine energy. And where are we now?
Right.
Just look at 2020.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, you know, are you familiar with Robert Bly?
No.
He wrote a book called Iron John. One of the things that he talks about is Zeus energy, this strong, wise, kind masculine energy that we usually don't think about. We don't think about it in a beneficent sort of way. It's out there. We just need to recognize it. But you're right. I mean, this whole, first of all, like, I think at least in America, what most of us think of as masculinity is, and what is termed toxic masculinity is actually not masculinity. It's a counterfeit type of masculinity.
Yes.
That comes from a place of insecurity. And it's a pretend, like, I'm going to play tough to push you away.
Yes.
You know, and it really, like, if you're really secure in yourself and you're not afraid, then you don't care what other people think. You don't care if you're rejected by, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter, right? That's strength. That's strength, not you reject me, so I'm going to tell you how horrible you are. Or we disagree, yep. So I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what's hitting me, like, right now with what's going on in Israel. And, you know, I'm not invested in either side. I never have been. But right now where I'm at is we got to do better than killing each other. We got to do better than that. It's just not acceptable. At what point does someone say, figure it out? Figure it out. Come up with something that's, you know, compromise, for God's sake. Figure something out. That killing each other is, it's just ridiculous. It makes me sick. It really does. So, you're right. Like, where this energy has gotten us. You know, we definitely need more love. We need more kindness. And if that's the feminine, then bring it on. You know, like, it's got to be better than this. You know, bunch of guys around the world pounding their chests and none of us having it as good as we could have. Right?
Yeah.
How are we going to solve this, Jenny? Do you go by Jenny or Jennifer? I heard you call yourself Jenny.
Jenny. Jenny's totally fine. Yeah. So I think it's by doing the work that we do as teaching people how to be who they are and how to unlearn who they were taught to be, and really live the truest expression of themselves, which is love, because we all come from love and we all go back to love. And we have learned to hate. We have learned to be racist. We have learned to kill. We were taught that from another person who has not learned it in a different way. So we really need to unlearn what we have, what society has taught us, what teachers have been, or the education system has been teaching us, right? So we need to unlearn that. And we really need to see if we live every day with, hey, what do I want to do now? Hey, what would I love doing now? Acting from love and being love, and just really asking ourselves before every action we take, how can I do this with love? How can I add love to what I'm doing now? I think that's when we will change.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny because I asked you that question facetiously, but you answered it basically the same way I would have if someone posed it to me. What were you going to add?
Yeah, I was just going to say it seems so simple. Yeah, but apparently it's harder than than it's
well,
said, right?
Well, we have to face our pain.
Yes.
To get there. Yes. For me to accept myself as who I am, I have to look at the rough edges.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts. It hurts, you know, and we all have wounds, but mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, I think the real answer is within each of us. And, you know, the real sages out there, this is basically what they have said, you know, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Because if I'm at peace with myself, if I can accept myself for exactly who I am, then I have no reason to reject you or condemn you or judge you, right? I mean,
absolutely.
If I'm okay with me, I can be okay with you.
And if I'm okay with me, I don't spite anybody who has more success or a thing that they want, but I congratulate them and I say, hey, this is amazing. You inspire me, rather than saying, oh, you know, like being jealous or just hating me or hating somebody else for having that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say about what you do or that people who might be interested in working with you that you'd like them to know?
Yes, absolutely. Because we talked about talk therapy versus hypnosis, right? Mm-hmm. And talk therapy, there is a statistic that says like 72% success, and hypnosis has a 96% success rate, because with hypnosis, you can go to the root cause of your problems, sometimes in one session, sometimes in a few sessions. Like if you're depressed, for example, one of my clients, she was depressed. She was taking antidepressants for years. She got off of them in 3 sessions because we came down to the root cause within these 3 sessions. And we found who she truly was. We found her soul's purpose. We were checking why she was here on earth, what she was meant to do here. And because we work with the subconscious mind when it comes to hypnosis or any other modalities that target the subconscious mind, we get to the root cause, because in the subconscious mind, there are all our patterns, our beliefs, our experiences stored from childhood when we were taking them up as a sponge. And that is the main difference as for talk therapy, because we don't relax when we do talk therapy. We talk. We're in the same state as we are right now as we're talking. But when we do hypnosis or any subconscious modality, we go into that space of our mind is relaxed. Our mind is quiet. There's no more judging, no more analyzing, no more thinking. Our minds are relaxed and they calm down. How often do we do that nowadays? We don't. Hmm. So the more we work on ourselves in a relaxed space of mind, that's the secret. That's it right there. Then that's how we can work on ourselves faster.
Hmm. All right. So if you had to look back on your life, and if there was a time when the younger Jenny needed a word of advice or encouragement, when would she have needed it most? And what would you go back to her and say?
Yeah, I think in my late teens and early 20s. No. Actually, let me go back. No. During the time of the divorce of my parents, because that was probably the hardest time for me. And I would just say, you know, love doesn't come from a family that is together, but love comes from within you, and you can create that love within you, and you are enough to be loved even though your parents have separated. It's not about you, it's about them, and you can really create the love from within you.
That's beautiful. Well, Jenny, this one of the things I love about this podcast is just that I have an excuse to reach out to people and connect, and it makes me happy because a lot of times I just follow my curiosity and it leads me to the best places. And this is one of those examples. You know, you're definitely the kind of person who I want to have in my life. And I appreciate you taking the time to do this. And I hope we can stay in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, anytime. And I'm sure you're going to write a book or something. So when that happens, you definitely got to let me know. There you go, Jennifer Schluter. Please subscribe, like, follow, whatever it is you can do at whatever platform you use. It's on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Listen Notes, Overcast, Pandora, Podbay, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Public, Spotify, Stitcher. Eventually, I'll post the episode on YouTube and lots of other places I'm not even sure about. I'm always trying to get it on more platforms. So if you enjoy listening to the show, please leave a rating or a review or both at Apple Podcasts, especially also Podchaser, wherever you listen. If you know someone who'd enjoy a particular episode, please send them a link. If you have questions or comments, you can call 561-247-4757 to leave a message. Love to hear from you and value any feedback you might have. For early access to this and each new episode, as well as unedited interviews and other supplemental content, you can support the show on Patreon. That's patreon.com/thepathtoauthenticity. And you can access that supplemental content right now for as little as $1 a month. I want to say thank you to the band Punk Rock Opera, whose music you hear throughout the show. Their songs are used with permission from the artist and under a Creative Commons license. I want to thank the show's sponsors, The Manor and Windrow's Recovery. Thank you to Wendy Chin at Equivox. And The Path to Authenticity is proud to support the I Speak Media Foundation. Check out the show and the website, thepathtoauthenticity.com. Have blog posts, all kinds of stuff. Players on the site. I'm starting to do more and more transcripts. There are the 20 question posts that I do for just about each guest these days. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, both at The Path to Authenticity. And more, I'm doing stuff on Clubhouse. You can find links to the show's club on Clubhouse in the show notes. Also have playlists on Spotify. Check it out. Thanks again to Jennifer. Thank you for listening. I know there's so much content out there. There's lots of different ways you could choose to spend your time. I appreciate you spending some of it with me. Hope you have a great week. Be nice.
a guitar player.
The path to authenticity is powered by Equivox. For digital marketing and web design services, visit equivox.com.